Hello, everybody. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Gemma of Mr. Gemma Like That Podcast, and we just want to take the time and say rest in peace to Stockton Diamond, better known as Screech. He passed away from lung cancer at the age of 44. He plays a role for Miss Good Morning, Miss Bliss, Saved by the Bell, Saved by the Bell College Years, and Saved by the Bell New Class. We all woke up every Saturday morning to watch Screech play on Saved by the Bell. He was always with a funny guy. And this was a very sad loss. You know, and so, you know, for the old school show, I had to acknowledge this because he was a part of not only my childhood, but a lot of our childhood. And we just want to wish, you know, we wish his family, or keep your family the prayers and rest in peace to Dustin Diamond, a.k.a. Screech. You are now listening to Mr. Gentleman Like That Podcast presents The Old School Show with Ken, a.k.a. Mr. Gentleman.
And the star Roddy Rod, where we talk anything old school.
True! Hello, everybody. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Jim, the YPG, and the Premier Boy Podcast. Welcome to another new episode of Mr. Jim, Like the Podcast Presents, The Old School Show. Hope all is well. And even though myself and DJ Retro, we back. New episode. And we're going to talk about 90s number one hits and one hit wonders. So, y'all already know what to do. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the first song.
This is DJ Retro, and you are now listening to Mr. Gentleman's Lifestyles Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is your boy Ken, a.k.a. Mr. Gentleman, and I am the host of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. And this commercial break is brought to you by Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. On Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast, we interview many guests about their life journey, pretty much where they come from and where they at now. Also, promoting their brands or whatever they're doing at the time they come on the show. We also have the host talk about personal stories about himself and everything that he's been through. And also, we have fun conversation about anything music, anything old school, relationships, wrestling, and many more. And y'all can tune in to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast every Sundays at 12 a.m. We are also on every Thursdays at 12 a.m. for Spin-Off Series Thursdays, where we have all of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast Spin-Off Series all in one day, where we have a conversation about music podcasts every first Thursday at 12 a.m., The Old School Show with myself and the star Roddy Rod every fourth Thursday at 12 a.m. And we have Date Night Talk Podcast with myself and Miss Vanna B every second and third Thursday at 12 a.m. And y'all can tune in to Mr. Gentleman Like That Podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, The Pods, and many more. Or y'all can check it out on the official website of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast, www.realmrgentlemanlifestylepodcast.com, www.realmrgentlemanlifestylepodcast.com. And tune in every Sundays and Thursdays at 12 a.m. for Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in to this commercial break of Mr. Gentleman Like That Podcast. Back to your regularly scheduled program. Cheer!
Hey, what's up? My name is Banga, and you are listening to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. And y'all already know what it is. This is the old school show. We are back, but this we're on a different day because schedule was bad. So we got two episodes of the old school show in February. know, Black History Month. So you already know this episode is a two-part episode. You know, on this episode we dive into the 90s, and next episode we dive into 2000. But we're gonna talk about the 90s, and we got the, you know, we got my co-host on the show. We got DJ Retro on the show. Retro, how you doing, bro?
I'm good. This is the old school show. We talk everything old school. You already know how it is, man. I'm ready to do this.
Yes, facts. And also, Happy New Year. This is the first old school show of the year. So,
that's too. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, Happy New Year's too, man.
Yeah, you ain't know. So, we go to talk about, you know, Billboard, in the 90s, Billboard songs in the 90s. And I had a question for you, Roddy. Who were the biggest artists in the 90s when it comes to Billboard?
I know I could definitely say Boyz II Men and Mariah Carey off the top.
Yep, you're definitely right. Mariah Carey is definitely the number one biggest artist in the 90s. Number two is Whitney.
Oh, Whitney?
Yeah, Whitney's number two.
So Boyz II Men is up there too?
Yeah, they're in the top five. They're definitely in the top five. I mean, of course you got Elton John too, but we're not discussing nothing on pop. But Elton John is up there, but we're not discussing pop. We just strictly R&B, mainly R&B, and some hip hop. We're gonna break down the eras. We're gonna break down to each year in the 90s. So we're gonna start off with 1990s. And the first R&B artist slash hip hop artist who would chart it in the 90s with Janet Jackson, you know, with her song Escapade, which was on the top 100 for 3 weeks. All right, so how are we gonna do this? I'm basically gonna go to each song and then we're gonna describe how you feel about the song, if you knew about the song or, you know, stuff like that. We're just gonna discuss like each song and stuff like that.
All right, cool.
All right, so did you know about Janet Jackson Escapade?
Yeah, I listened to it. It's an okay song. It's all right. I prefer that was she had others off of that album that was better, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean Escapade. I mean, I don't know, when I was doing the research, I'm like, what is Escapade? So I did my research. Like, a lot of the songs that are in the early 90s, I didn't really know by titles. I didn't know when I heard it. And Janet, this song was one of those songs. It was a cool song. I agree with Roddy. It's a cool song. But the thing about the 1990s was, it still got some 80s in it. So you're not gonna get the official 90s sound until 1991. So let's just say, like,
and that's the case with every flyover of the era anyway, as we always say, you're gonna have some fade in.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much 1990 was a lot of that. So the next artist, which was, I believe, her first song, Mariah Carey, Vision of Love. And that was number on the one for 4 weeks in the Billboard. How do you feel about Vision of Love?
Not my favorite song from her. It's all right.
Thing about Mariah, I had a little crush on Mariah in the 90s. Not now. But in the 90s, though, she was a baddie. And she had talent. And I like a lot of her songs. This was also one of those songs that I didn't know by title. But I knew by when I hear it. I remember this song. Wait, yeah. So next we dive into the first hip hop song that got into the Billboard list. I'm not sure if it was the first hip hop song ever. I think it was, but it was Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby. Wow,
wait a minute. So
how
did they beat LL Cool J and Grandmaster Flash? Wow.
I don't know if it was the first hip hop song ever, but I know in the 90s it was definitely
the first for the 90s.
Yeah, and it was.
But Jazzy Jeff was 80s, I think, right?
They were 80s. LL Cool J was 80s. Grandmaster Flash was 80s. Yeah, all them were like early 80s. So.
But yeah, Ice Baby, you know, is. It's a funny song. It's a catchy song, but I won't play it. I don't know. It's not a song for me.
I mean, I'm the Vanilla Ice. I mean, he had a big year, even though that was only one week in top 100. But he had a big year, and that big year went down really quick. But I do remember Vanilla Ice when he made a cameo on Ninja Turtle 2, when he performed that song Ninja Rock. Ninja Watch.
Okay.
So, yeah. But yeah. So here we got Mariah Carey back at the countdown again with Love Take Time. We were 3 weeks on number one in the 1990s. How you feel about Love Take Time?
Love Take Time is a good song. It's an alright song.
Yeah, I actually like that song too. And it's funny because, fun fact, we played this song recently on the Premier Boy podcast episode on R&B is Dead episode. No, that was Miss Madame Mazelle picked. Shout out to her. So yeah. And then the last song we're gonna dive into the 1990s, Whitney Houston, I'm Your Baby Tonight. That was spent 1 week on the number one chart. How you feel about Whitney Houston, that song?
I'm Your Baby Tonight?
Yeah.
It's a good song. It's dope. You know, she had a lot of dope songs from that album in general.
Yeah, that's true. And you already know Whitney came out in the 80s, so I think this will start become her breakout. We're gonna get to more Whitney soon. But so yeah, so that's it for the 1990. Let's go to the 1991. This is where music really start to change. And we got the first R&B song, the first actual R&B song, which is High Five, I Like the Way. Spent 1 week on the Billboard chart. How you feel about I Like the Way? I Like the Way. The Kiss the Game, basically.
It's cool. It's a nice song.
Yeah, I love this song, man. Like I said, I mentioned this on, I forgot what episode I mentioned this on, that Usher sampled this song recently on Don't Waste Your Time with Ella May.
Yeah, you put me on to that. I remember that.
Oh yeah. And thing about it, funny, cause you know when I was diving through the list, I did not know this song was on the top 100. I was shocked actually when I heard the song was on the top 100. I was like, oh wow, like dope.
Yeah, right. That was a shocker for me too, yo.
Yeah, and trust me, it's a lot more shockers when we dive into this list. So next is here comes the queen of the 90s, Mariah Carey. Once again, with I Don't Want to Cry, spent 2 weeks in the Billboard charts. How you feel about I Don't Want to Cry?
Not my favorite song. I'm not a big fan of that one.
I'm not even gonna lie. I did not know about this song until I did my research recently. I still don't know about this song. This is probably the only song that I heard from Mariah in the 90s that I did not know about. So yeah. So the next song is Whitney Houston. All the Man That I Need, spent 2 weeks in the Billboard charts. And how you feel about with this song from Whitney?
It's a good song. It's a nice song too. Whitney definitely has some bangers, man. You can't deny that lady.
I agree. Even though this wasn't my favorite Whitney song. I'm a big fan of Whitney, but this wasn't my favorite Whitney song though. Mm-hmm. And here comes the last artist from the 1991, which was the biggest artist for that year. Michael Jackson, Black or White, seven weeks in the Billboard charts for that year. How you feel about Black or White?
It's an okay song. It's a dope song. I like Black and White. I listen to it. It's kind of good. It's really popish to me.
Yeah. This was the Dangerous album, and you know, Teddy Riley. I don't think Teddy Riley did this song though. I know he did Dangerous and he did Remember the Time. I'm shocked Remember the Time didn't chart. I was shocked about that. But Black and White wasn't my favorite song for Michael. I like it, but it wasn't my favorite song for Michael though. I mean, I like
not
the video.
First choice for Michael for me. It's not a first choice. Like, yeah, if somebody asked me to play a Michael song right now, I wouldn't say Black and White first.
Me either.
And that's a fact.
But I like the video. The video was dope though. But I just didn't like the song like that. It wasn't my favorite. So that's it for 1991. Now we're gonna get to 1992. And the first song for 1992 got me. I wasn't surprised by it, But I'm pretty sure when this song first got on the in the scene, everybody was shocked at how good this song did. Vanessa Williams, Saved the Best for Last, which spent 5 weeks on the Billboard charts. How you feel about that song?
I like it. I've even had the CD for that in my house. It's a nice song.
That song is definitely a classic. I like that song as well. Vanessa Williams was is a beautiful woman. You know, she did a lot of stuff. She was doing pageants. I think before she doing music, she was doing pageants. Then after that, of course, she went to acting, you know, with Soul Food and many other roles after that. You know, she was doing big things in the 90s. I'm not gonna lie. Alright, so the next song, we got another hip hop group on the countdown. We got Chris Cross, Jump, spent 8 weeks on the Billboard charts. Yeah, 8 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And y'all know I believe Jermaine Dupri discovered them, right? If I could remember.
Yeah, Jermaine Dupri. Yeah.
How you feel about Jump?
Not a big fan of Jump, to be honest. If I hear it, I hear it, but I won't use it as a personal pick.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like it. Jump is like how I feel about MC Hammer. Hammer Time. You know, if I listen to it when I listen to it, but not a first choice. Yeah. And now we got you know, D guys, one of the biggest groups of the 90s. Let me change that. They are the bigger groups in the 90s. Boy to Men, with their first number one hit, End of the Road, spent 13 weeks at number one. 13 weeks. And we spoke about Boy to Men on episode 2 of the Old School Show. But you ain't know how you feel about End of the Road.
Great song. Song I definitely could play from beginning to end if it comes on, no matter what. Song that gets you into your feelings. You just have to, you feel it, you know? Yeah. Things about Boys to Men songs is so genuinely good. You have no choice when it plays to enjoy it and feel it, you know?
I agree, yo. This, you ain't know, but End of the Road was an amazing song. I always, I'm a Boys to Men fan, man, and I always loved the song. And fun fact, we did a song for karaoke 1 year. End of the Road for karaoke 1 year. It was a fun experience. Yeah, my bad. Sorry. but we'll dive into Boys to Men a little bit more because they did a record breaking thing. But we're gonna get to that when we get to that. So next we got another top charting song, which was, I believe, Whitney's longest charting song, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. Spent 14 weeks at number one, they dethroned End of the Road. How you feel about I Will Always Love You?
Great song, man. Gee, that song, man, put you in your feelings too. And it's like, crazy because when she passed and I started repaying her stuff, I ended up realizing that song was a cover of the Dolly Parton one.
Yeah, I know, right?
And no offense to Dolly Parton, but she killed that song better than her.
I agree. To be honest, y'all, I would never know that Dolly Parton made that song, because the way Whitney sang that song, she made it like it was her own. So, and
a lot of times when a song is done good by the new artist, you just tend to forget if it was sampled. You don't even care.
Exactly. And I Will Always Love You. Yes, exactly. It definitely was. And Whitney, she killed the song. This is definitely one of my favorite Whitney songs. 14 weeks at number one, that's a lot. That was the second longest song in the 90s. We will get to the first in a while. But yeah, Whitney's legend. Like I said, Dolly Parton did dope, but Whitney killed the song. Honestly, that whole album, the Bodyguard soundtrack, was just amazing album as a whole. Classic, a classic piece of work, man. You already know. And
they said they wanted to They said they wanted to redo the Bodyguard movie with somebody like Cardi or somebody. I'm like, what's
wrong? Oh God. Oh God. That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful to Whitney's career. They do that and put Cardi? Y'all already know how I feel about Cardi. Exactly. Y'all already know how I feel about Cardi. I think it was a joke,
but who knows?
Oh God. I mean, we're not going to get to that.
People post these things online. Sometimes it's a joke. Sometimes it's real.
Yeah. No, true. Y'all already know how I feel about Cardi, but it's an old school show. She don't even matter in this. She not even.
It was just that came up in my mind when I
saw it. Yeah, I know. That girl literally just born when this movie's out, man. Like
delivery,
literally. But the last artist we're gonna talk about is Mariah Carey. I Be There, which is a Michael Jackson sample cover art. Michael Jackson cover art. When he was in the Jackson 5, it's been 2 weeks at number one. How you feel about I Be There? How rich of it?
It's okay. To me, it doesn't do justice to the original. It's just okay.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like how she sang it. I mean, of course, her voice is amazing, but I just didn't like how she it took away from how Michael did it. You know, it didn't give me the same feeling when Mariah did the song the way Michael did it. You know, and that's it for 1992. So that's time for 1993. This first song for 1993, I was actually shocked about the song. And we spoke about this during episode 2 when it came to the groups and the sex era. The sex era when, you know, our R&B groups started to get the sex era. Let's talk about Silk, Freak Me. Spent two weeks at number one. How you feel about that?
I like that song. That's a good song too. Silk had a lot of Silk sex songs, cool. All of them, because he had Freak Me is a good one though.
I was shocked, son. I was really shocked because I'm thinking about myself, what happened to Jodeci? What happened to you know, all the other groups? You know, Jodeci was out around this time.
Songs were out around that time too.
Yeah, and Freak Me was number. I mean, I like the group, but I'm shocked that this song was on the Billboard charts, and it was on the Billboard charts, top 100, not the R&B chart, top 100, the overall chart for 2 weeks. I'm shocked about that. I'm shocked about it. Just like High Five, even though High Five song was amazing, I'm shocked that the song was on the countdown for 2 weeks. I'm shocked about that. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, so the next artist we got is Janet Jackson. That's the way love goes. It's been 8 weeks at number one. Now, how you feel about that song?
That's a good feel-good song. I'm definitely going to listen to it. It's a nice feel-good song.
It really is, yeah. I love that song for Janet, yo. That is exactly a feel-good song. Every time I hear it, you know, it makes it give you that good move. And, you know, eight weeks at number one, dope. But here come, once again, she got dethroned by the queen of the 90s, Mariah Carey, Hero. 4 weeks at number one. How you feel about that song, Hero?
I love that song. Song is such a... I just love it. It's just... when that song dropped, I was such a little kid singing it. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I love that song too. It's a very inspirational song, you know. I mean... Only thing I could say that when I actually was younger, this was the first Mariah song that I actually heard. Like, I actually heard when I was at the age.
Because that was like 93?
Yeah, because I remember one time, I think Mariah had a concert. It was a concert that came on TV. I think it came on Channel 5. And it played like all her songs, and this song was played. And she had a lot of hits. I like that one. Like I said, that one had my crush for Mariah started. I told you, like I said earlier, I had a crush for Mariah when she was in the 90s. This is where the crush started, when I first heard the song. And yeah. And it's another song, but we're going to get to that when we get to the next year. But the last song for the 90s, well, not for the 90s, for 93, was SWV Week. 2 weeks at number one. How you feel about Week?
Not my favorite song from them, per se. But it's a good song. It's a nice song. The octaves and everything, you know, they deserved it.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I like Weak. I like Weak. Of course, I prefer the other songs that they had, but I like the Weak. Weak was a dope song. That was a dope song. All right, so let me dive into 1994, and you know, the sex music continued with this man, even though in the culture now he canceled, but we got to admire this man for the legendary work that he did. So and this was his first charted song. We got R. Kelly, Bump and Grind, 4 weeks at number one on the Hot 100 charts. How you feel about Bump and Grind?
It's a good song. And you know something too?
Yeah.
This song is still featured in movies and TV shows all the time. So
That's true. That is definitely true.
It's a song that everybody knows.
Yeah, I know. I remember it was featured in one movie called Without a Paddle. and they played this song. I was like, wow, this is like the weirdest. It's a white guy's movie. So the fact that they added this song was funny. And Bobby Grant, I always liked it. I mean, at one point, I was a big R. Kelly fan when he first came out. You know, when he came up with Your Body, Bobby Grant album, Toe Play. Your Body Calling, stuff like that. Yeah, he had a lot of amazing work in the 90s, and this was one of those amazing work that he had. R. Kelly was dope, man. I'm not even gonna lie. And so the next song, which is, I believe, our first one-hit wonder song on the list. We got to dive into more than one-hit wonders. But so we got All For One, I Swear. This song spent 11 weeks at number one on the top 100 charts. Yeah.
Yo, you know something?
Yeah.
I got the CD and I didn't even know that this song was so huge at the time.
Me either.
I had that CD in my house and I'm just like, wow, All For One, I Swear. And because we were young, so we didn't know. I didn't even know this song was huge, huge.
Me either. I did not know the song was huge until Jern started playing it like a couple years ago. And Jern only played it when he did his DJ set. And I heard the song before, but I didn't think the song was a big deal. And then when I was doing my research to get the notes together for this episode, it said a lot of movies had number one. Like, dang, I did not know it was on the calendar for that long. Jeez.
This is a well-known song that everybody should know too. Wow.
Yeah, but it is a one-hit wonder. We're going to get into it a little later, but it definitely is a one-hit wonder. Actually,
it's a great song though.
It is a great song. It is a great song. It's an amazing song.
It deserved it.
Yeah, it's an amazing song. But now you know we got the but of course they got destroyed by the biggest group in the 90s, Boyz II Men, with I Make Love to You. Woo. Which spent 14 weeks at number one.
That was 14?
14 weeks, yes.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight, bro. Yeah. If you was around listening to the radio in 1994, you was just listening to Nasty and Notorious B.I.G. stuff?
Well, B.I.G. didn't come out yet. He probably came out, but he probably didn't have
Snoopy
no.
Snoopy was out, I think.
He was out. Well, I think he probably was just coming out now. I believe. But yeah, that's true. Though. You think about a lot of sex music in the 90s.
Now I'm saying if you had on the radio at that year, that's probably all you was hearing.
For us, except for whatever Boyz II Men were bringing out, because they were bringing that about. For a love song, man. Amazing love song that, you know, that girls love.
Because when you think about Billboard, it cross-sends into not just two radio stations. It cross-sends into all the radio stations.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, all radio stations, urban and pop. And you already know, in Billboard chart, meaning your song, your music is not going to be playing on urban radio. It also be playing on pop radio, too. So,
and all over the country, not just...
All over the country, yeah, exactly. Not nationwide, all over the country, exactly. And...
Wow.
Yeah.
So these people were listening to sex songs all that year.
Basically. But of course, Boyz II Men changed that climax. You know, Amik loves you. Even though, I mean, it's through sex. Yeah,
it's a sexual song. It's more
lovemaking. Like, you know, it's two different modes of, you got sex and you got lovemaking. And I like Make Love To You. It's basically a lovemaking song. But this is where Boyz II Men made history, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes. Boyz II Men, they dethroned themselves. They were number one, but then the next song after that went number one right after that, which was On Bended Knees.
Oh.
Yeah, which spent 6 weeks at number one. So in total, both songs together, that's like 20-something weeks at number one altogether.
Wow.
We had to put those songs together. Yeah, yeah, we got knowledge Boyz II Men though. They do a lot of major work, man. And you know,
so if you was driving in the car that year, you was listening to Boyz II Men that year. All that year.
It's basically you pretty much really was. Like, you know, Boyz II Men were killing it. You know, the album that they came out with that year, they're killing it. I'm pretty sure they do play it End of the Road as well. And
of course. Oh yeah, yeah, of course the radios would do that, right.
Yeah, I mean they got, and but of course, but you know, for the amazing guy, we gotta thank Mike Bibbs for a new addition for bringing in the guys out. You know,
sometimes I wonder what if Boyz II Men actually was like longevity 2000, 2010, like they still was able to make it last that long.
I mean, we already spoke about Boyz II Men on the episode 2, and they, like I said, they were making music. Even to this day, they're making music.
But it wasn't dominating.
Yeah, it was a chart hitting. Yeah, true. It was a chart hitting. But yeah, they're still making music today.
Wow. Boyz II Men was the group of what? What year was this?
That was 94.
They were the people dominating the radio in 94. Wow.
Yeah, and to be honest, they're not even there. They're not even done.
Oh,
They're not done. And but here, that a fun fact about Boyz II Men. One of the members of Boyz II Men, their son is doing their thing now too.
What's their son's name?
It's four of them. I can't remember the names right now. But four of them, and they got a group themselves.
They're trying to follow in their footsteps, so they pop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh man, that's amazing, bro.
That is amazing. I believe it was Yang Wayne's sons. I believe it's Yang Wayne. I probably say the name one, but yeah. So we gonna dive into 95. And 95, I believe this is my favorite R&B group. This is Roddy's favorite R&B group too. They're probably one of the biggest groups in the 90s. One of the biggest female groups in the 90s. We got TLC. I believe this is Roddy's song too, actually. Creep. 4 weeks at number one.
How you feel about Creep? I love this song. I love the song. Everything about the song is dope.
Yeah, it is. Everything. Yeah, this song is dope. I mean, of course, they've been around since 92, but I believe this is what their first charted song. And yeah, I like the Creep. Creep was a dope song as well. Creep was definitely a dope song. So next song we got your boy, Montel Jordan. This is How We Do It. 7 weeks at number one. It's funny because we had a conversation about this guy like a couple of days ago. Hype about Montel Jordan.
Great. That song will always go down in history. And it's crazy because it's like he's really a one-hit wonder because he just get paid from this one song. Like,
for real?
This Is How You Do It is played on commercials.
Yeah.
Movies. Sometimes they play in basketball. Am I lying?
Yeah, they do. You do.
Sometimes you go anywhere and they just throw it in like barbecues and stuff.
Yeah, they do play in the clubs to this day. That's actually one of the songs that they do play to this day. And you always go to hear it. And crazy, because we spoke about this, and I don't know. Is it this, him being a one-hit wonder? Like, oh, I had a mixed feeling. So when I did the information, that he was a one-hit wonder, I'm like, like how he had knew he had he did have music out, like you mentioned. He had six songs out that were charted, but this was his biggest hit. So I don't know. I don't get a mixed feelings on if he was a one. I never considered it a two when I did my research the other day. But
the average person don't know another Montel Jordan song.
That's true, yeah. Basically,
they can't name another Montel Jordan song off the top of their head.
I can't, not off the top for me. But it's one of those songs that I gotta hear it, and then Montel Jordan.
Maybe honorable mention is Get It On Tonight, because it was in the Save the Last Dance.
Oh yes, Sephia, Get On Tonight. And I saw the next
song.
It is a dope song, and to the, I have to play it to this day myself, so it is a dope song. All right, so next artist we got Sil, Kiss on the Rose, When We Get Number One. How you feel about that song?
Beautiful. I just wish it was more than 1 week.
I agree. Yeah. Sil, man, that's an amazing song, though. I'm not gonna lie. That's
maybe at the time it slid to like number, stayed in the top 10, but
come on, it was on Batman Forever soundtrack. It should have been more weeks. It should have been more weeks. The song is amazing. Oh, I do got a fun fact about Sil. One time on my IG, he looked at my stories. I was like, what? Yeah, I was like, wow. I was shocked because it was mad random. I was looking through my stories that he saw, like, what the heezy?
This is when you was promoting or what?
I think it had to be when I was promoting. I think when I first launched on Mr. Gem, I like the podcast, like a first launch day, I believe. Like, probably a couple months later, I think. But
so still, if you're a fan, just hit this man up so he can get you on.
Definitely, yeah. And yo, I love Kiss on the Rose, man. Definitely, that'd be dope. And he was recently on The Masked Singer. I believe it was season 2. He was actually close to the fight. He was actually close to winning the whole thing. That's the crazy thing about it. Yeah, he was definitely close to winning the whole thing. All right, so next song, this Michael Jackson song is a sleeper with me. I actually love this song. You Are Not Alone. 1 week at number one. How you feel about You Are Not Alone?
I like it. It's a real good song.
Yeah, I like it as well. Dope song. One of my favorite Michael. Like I said, it's a sleeper for Michael. And you already know R. Kelly wrote the song. This is a Michael song. You're Not Alone. R. Kelly wrote the song.
Right. Yeah. And then it's crazy. Side note that on the documentary, they said that this song was actually dedicated to one of them. But yeah.
Oh,
one of the girls. But yeah.
Oh wow. Wow, crazy. but to get on a positive note, the next song, The Queen of '90s once again got back on the charts.
Wow.
She the Queen of the '90s, man. She really is the Queen of '90s, and she's not even done because she got like 2 songs on this year. So one of the songs is Fantasy.
Sweet.
Eight weeks at number one. How you feel about the song?
I could say that's well deserved. I love the song. Hear It Anytime is dope. I love the version more with ODB.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely. That's another song that do get played everywhere. You know, that's another song that to this day get played everywhere. I do like the song, like the ODB version. You know, Recipe to ODB. Yeah, this song is dope. Eight weeks, deserving. Yeah. So next we got Whitney Houston, XL. Shoot. Spent 1 week at number one. How you feel about this song?
It wasn't my favorite Whitney song.
It wasn't either, but shout out to Babyface. He did wrote the song, so shout out to Babyface.
This was part of the Thing soundtrack, right?
Yeah. Wait to XL, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Side note, you know soundtracks in the 90s, like, basically... Basically, you could play a soundtrack from these movies from front to end.
Yeah, definitely, yo. And...
They put in their hard work into these soundtracks.
Yeah, soundtrack would be. Yes.
You would think that these soundtracks are whole albums for somebody. Like,
I agree.
But it was just a variety of good music and the whole thing you could play.
It was. Soundtrack was dope in the 90s. Especially, this soundtrack was dope, though, but this wasn't my favorite Whitney song either. But I liked the song. But yeah, soundtrack was really dope in the 90s. But sadly, Whitney, she could have had her moment to shine because the queen of the 90s.
Oh, boy.
Took the throne again. But this time, she got some help this time, though. She got My Boys on the song. Which was No Boy to Men. One Sweet Day.
Oh, okay.
This was one of the longest song on in the 90s. 16 weeks at number one in the 90s. It was the longest song for this year. How you feel about One Sweet? 16 weeks. 16, yes. So you ain't know. I'm pretty sure my rival, like, you know, I gotta get these boys to men because they're the biggest groups. I'm the queen of the 90s. Let's come together and make an amazing song. And One Sweet Day was an amazing song. Hype about One Sweet Day.
Great song.
An amazing song, man. Like, to be the song. 16 weeks at number one, well deserved. And I love the song. I love the song. And yeah. So that's I'm pretty sure she ended the year with the song. She ended the year with the song just to get herself back on the countdown again, because we're 296 and she threw in the countdown with Always Be My Baby for 2 weeks at number one. Mariah, man, this lady, man. How you feel about Mariah? How you feel about Always Be My Baby?
I love that song. That's a great song.
I love that song too, man. Mariah. No, she had hits. She was the queen of the 90s, and she let it be known that she was the queen of the 90s. Like, every song then, that she had charted.
And then in the 2000s, she had a couple of hits all over too, but we'll get into that later.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, we're going to get to the 2000 part two, because Mariah, she was the comeback queen of 2000, but we're going to get to that when we get to a part two in the next episode. So we're in 96. And it was two artists in history. I don't know how sure in history, but I know it was two artists in the 90s. They had two songs that went to number one at the same time. I don't know how it's possible, but so if we go first, the first artist was Toni Braxton. She had two songs at number one at the same time. You're Making Me High. Yeah, You're Making Me High and Let It Flow. Both was number one week of the countdown. How you feel about those two songs?
To be honest, these are my favorite from Toni. You're Making Me High sounds okay, but it's not my preferred to go to for Toni Braxton.
I agree. You Make Me High. I did like that song. It wasn't my favorite, but I liked it, like that song. That video, she looked like her. She was another one of my crush in the 90s. Toni Braxton was, oh my gosh. She's still my crush to this day. Oh man. Toni Braxton, Lord. And that video alone, she was really like, wow. Yeah. And Let It Flow wasn't my favorite Toni Braxton song, but I liked it. But then the second artist who did the same thing, who had two songs in the 90s at the same time, who's had two songs at number one at the same time, was Tupac. Which was really? Tupac. Which was How Do You Want It, featured Casey and JoJo. And California featured Dr. Dre. Both were number one weeks. How you feel about that song?
Dope songs, both of them. They were hot songs.
Yeah, I agree. Both songs was hot. You know, shout out to Roger Tasman, you know, did Computer Love and I Wanna Be Your Man. He was on California.
Oh, really? First,
He was with California. That was him.
That was him.
And rest in peace to Roger Tasman, the one guy who started the autotune, who actually used it right. You know, amazing dude, man. Shout out to him. And of course, How Do You Want It? I like with Casey JoJo. I like that song too. Dope song. So after that, you know, we got Backstreet featured Dr. Dre, No Diggity, which was number one for 4 weeks. I honestly did not know it was number one for that long. To be honest with you, but dope song. How you feel about No Diggity?
Great. I love it. I listen to it anytime. And there's another song that's a staple that still gets played on TV and commercials anytime.
That's true. It does. It really does. And I mean, I was shocked that it was number four. It was number one for 4 weeks, though. But it's a dope song. I like the song. I do like the song. And then last song for 96, we got Toni Braxton, Unbreak My Heart. 8 weeks at number one. How you feel about Unbreak My Heart? Yeah.
Too sad, too depressing for me. I'm sorry. It's an okay song, but it's too sad and too depressing. I can't listen to it.
It is, but it's actually one of my favorite Toni Braxton songs, though. One of my favorite Toni Braxton songs.
But this is the song that really made her, from what I remember in the movie. It was saying she didn't want to do it, and Babyface was like, yo, you got to sell paint, son.
That's true. And she really did, and she came out with this amazing song. So shout out to her, Toni Braxton. If you're listening, I need you to come and Mr. John like the podcast. I want to interview you. You're an amazing woman. I need to interview you for real. Toni Braxton, amazing. All right, so we got to 97. We are 97. And, you know, all the artists did kill it in 97, but Bad Boys was killing it in 97, though. Literally, 97, all this looks like I hit is Bad Boys, son. Literally. So we're going to start with Puff and Maeve. I Can't Nobody Hold Me Down. Spent 6 weeks at number one.
Wow.
How you feel about that song? Yeah, I didn't know it that long, though. 6 weeks at number one. Wow.
Can't Nobody Hold Me Down is a cool song. I like the original. Yeah.
Yeah, and the remix. Yeah, the dope song. Then, of course, after that, we got Biggie. Hit the Ties. 3 weeks at number one.
Not my top Biggie song to go to, but it's a good song.
Not my top Biggie song either. I like Hit the Ties. And then that same year, this is when Biggie died, and you know, Diddy came out with I'll Be Missing You, you know, with Puff, or Faith, and 112. Spent 11 weeks at number one. 11 weeks at number one.
That song was a great song, but he only monetized on it because of the fact that Biggie passed away, and they ran into the studio a few days later, and recorded it.
Yeah, no.
So it was basically a gain and a loss.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you lost Biggie, and then all of us some wanted him, but then you got this great song. So
yeah,
everybody around the world is buying the song and listening to the song, and this is all on the No Way Out album, right?
Autumn was in No Way Out. Yeah. No, I mean No Way Out, and I know this one was in No Way Out. But I believe I think Can't Hold Me Down was in No Way Out. I know Hit the Ties was on Ready to Die.
Yeah, I think Can't Hold Me Down was on No Way Out too.
Yeah. So also fun fact about Missing You, Sting from the Police. He made an original version of that song too, and I remember 1 year at the Grammys.
He came on the stage and performed.
He performed with them. Yeah.
But they had controversy because he was getting so successful off that song, so he had to pay him back some way.
It's always like
that though. When people sample a song and is more successful, they get greed.
Yeah, that's true. You're not giving me my credit.
Oh, I'm suing you. Unless you do X, Y, and Z for me.
that is definitely true though. That's definitely true. All right, so now we are on 98. We at 98, and you know we got this amazing song from my guy Usher, Nice and Slow. It's 2 weeks at number one. How you feel about Nice and Slow?
Great, love it.
Yeah, I love that song too. And you know, fun fact, Diddy and Jermaine Dupri mentor Usher, you know, and stuff like that. So, also in 98, we haven't seen this girl in the countdown in a while. Janet Jackson is back in the countdown with Together Again, 2 weeks at number one. How you feel about Together Again?
Not my favorite song from I had the album for the Velvet Rope I'm sorry, I skip that one every time. That's not my favorite song from the album.
Not me though. Nah, this is not my favorite
song. It's an okay song. It's just not a good song. It's not my favorite.
I agree. But of course, when you see Janet, you see the queen of the 90s once again.
Oh, true.
taking the throne. I would think that those two got low key beat. I would prefer to see a verse with Janet and Mariah just for the queen of the 90s throne. Like, I'm put it out there right now. I'll put it out there.
Just somebody, is anybody who's listening, please write that in the comments under the verses so we can make that happen. If they see it enough, maybe they'll consider it.
For real. Mariah versus Janet Jackson. For some reason, Swiss, I got, before I get to the next one, Swiss says something about Janet and not a versus contender. I mean, Swiss, you're my guy, but I disagree with you. Janet got a lot of contenders, yo, if you really. She could go against Mariah. Janet could go against Mariah. So, yeah, put that in the verse. I put that in the comment versus myself. Put Janet versus Mariah. Like, that would be a dope verse. We need to make that happen. But you know,
yeah, man, I do want to see Mariah in the verses. Even though I know she'll kill it because she got too much hits. She got too much stuff to pick from.
Exactly, yeah, Mariah do got too much stuff to
cook. Even if she don't pick just the hits, the B-sides, oh my gosh, bro, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Even if she picked the B-sides and the features, she still win.
That's true, yeah, Mariah would win either way. Whoever Mariah going against, she would win either way. So that's the crazy thing about it. Like, Mariah just, she did a lot of music. Mariah did a lot of music. She do acting to this day, too, so, yeah. But speaking of Mariah, so in 98, she got a song called My All. And it was number one for 1 week. How you feel about that song?
Hated that one.
I liked that song. I liked that song. I mean, not much to say about it.
How much week was it?
Number only one.
Oh.
Yeah.
It wasn't a strong song for me.
Nah. But then, after that, we got Brandy and Monica with The Boys Is Mine that spent 13 weeks at number one. How you feel about that song?
It's an alright song. It's a cool song. More female song than a dude song.
It's a female song. It's a dope song. I'm pretty sure all of us know, we'll see the verses between Mariah, Brandy and Monica and stuff like that. And and they had their beef back in the day where Monica punched Brandy in the face doing it before the performance and stuff like that. And yeah, but I'm pretty sure girls to the day do argue who is Brandy and who is Monica when they do The Boys Mine.
Of course.
Yeah, little girls who would be like, "Oh, I want to be Monica. You could be Brandy." No, I don't want to be. I don't want to be Brandy. Yeah, it's been like that. Yeah, it's always been like that though. But Monica continued with my first night, spent 5 weeks at number one. Monica was killing it too. She thrown herself and took them on the spot. I feel about that song on the first night.
My first night. I like that song. I ain't gonna lie.
I think that's
I'm surprised that it was a Billboard hit, though. I didn't even know. Don't get me wrong, Monica had a lot of songs on that particular album.
Yeah.
That was more deserving to be Billboard notoriety.
I agree. Yeah, I was talking about this song with number one as well. This is one song from Monica I definitely always liked though. Always liked this song.
If you hear it come on your playlist, you're not gonna change it.
Yeah, exactly. And also that beat is fire. I believe if I'm not mistaken, Timbaland made this beat. I think Tim made this beat. I believe he made this beat, but this beat was fire.
I had The Boy Is Mine. She had a couple. Whoever produced, those producers were great. Sometimes I guess whoever you get behind in art and music, is always gonna bring you up too. So
yeah, and the features. Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, Monica did her thing. I ain't gonna lie.
She did. Yeah, that song was amazing. I like that song. So next we got me next. It's crazy how this person is a legend with just one album, and yeah, we got Lauryn Hill, Doo Wop. That Thing was spent number two weeks at number one. Also, a Grammy winning album too. How you feel about That Thing? That Thing, That Thing, That Thing.
I love That Thing. I played That Thing anytime I could.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, I don't know how you feel if Lauryn Hill came up with the album now. Would you tune in?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like she haven't had the same flair, the same zest, the same success since that first album.
For real, she been living off that first album for a very long time, and even though now, yeah.
I was going to say that the singles alone are getting, all of them are getting sampled, all the singles that she has.
For real. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And even though she out now, she was on Tiana Taylor's song, she was on Pusha T song, she was on Kanye's song, she do her thing to this day. So I'm happy to see her back, but I do want to see another Lauryn Hill project, though. I'm curious to see another Lauryn Hill project. So
if it's done right.
Exactly, if it's done right, exactly. So the next artist, we got my guy, Will Smith, Get Jiggy With It. Spent 3 weeks at number one. How you feel about Get Jiggy With It?
It's a fun song. It's a real funny song, though. Like, when it came out, the video was funny. And then hearing it on the radio, I don't know, people think of that song as being a little corny song, you know?
Yeah, true. Yeah. I mean, I always been a Will Smith fan. Yeah, his songs do be corny at times, but he's a dope artist. We want to be. He wanted to make music without cursing, and I give him a shout out for that, you know, stuff like that. And as I get older, I listen to Will Smith songs now. I'm like, yo, I actually enjoy these songs, yo. I'm not gonna front. I enjoy listening to Will Smith songs, man. He's a dope artist. I don't care what nobody say.
So, yeah, they used to clown him hard when this dropped.
They did. Yeah, I remember they did. A lot of the songs they came out with, you know, Man in Black, Wild Wild West, stuff like that. They did kind of hard, you know. But it was dope to me. It was dope to me.
But again, Jiggy With It, yeah. Do they still play this a lot?
Every hit, yeah. I think this was more, yeah. This is one of the worst songs they do play a lot, though. One of the worst songs they do play a lot. Yeah.
So you could go somewhere and they'll drop it. They'll drop it at a party.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe somebody sampled the song. I just can't remember who it was. Somebody sampled the song. I just cannot remember who it was, though.
Recently?
I think so. I feel like, yeah, I think recently. I just can't remember who it was, though.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But also, shout out to Jonah Hill. Jonah Lucas, my bad. He a rapper. He made a song about Will Smith. Like, pay homage to Will Smith, you know?
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, check it out. It's dope. Yeah, check it out. So last song in the 1998, we got R. Kelly and Celine Dion, Angel. Spent 6 weeks at number one. How you feel about that song?
I love the composition of that song. It's just not a top song for me for that particular. I had the album. It's not a particular top song for that album.
I agree. I agree, yeah, exactly.
It's like sometimes when you have the album, you just experience different songs and you're just like, all right, this song's okay, but there's better.
Yeah, I agree.
This wasn't a single.
I agree. This wasn't my favorite.
Leon should have... Did she have a lot of entries on this too? Side note?
She probably did, yeah. But I probably didn't add to the list, but she did. She did.
She was another force to be reckoned with.
She was. She was a dope artist. She had like two. Remember, don't forget the Titanic song, man. That song was amazing. That song was sad, though. That song was real sad. But yeah, I believe she did have songs on. Yeah, I just didn't add her in. Yeah, I just didn't add her in, though. Yeah. So we go down to the. Yeah.
Just gotta give our flowers where it's, you know,
I agree. No, shout out to Celine Dion. She's dope. Always appreciate it. She's a dope artist. You know.
Shout so for her and R. Kelly to do that together, superpower.
It is. And you know, R. Kelly.
You know what I noticed?
Yeah. What up?
Back then, if the collabos made sense, they did it more.
True. That's true. Yeah. That's
more
true.
Than now.
Yeah, because now a lot of collabos do not make sense now. But it was like back then. Like we could have dream collabs, and then that dream collab actually happened.
That too.
Yeah, and this was even though this was an unexpected collab, it came out good. You know, it was one of those collabs that you.
Because I'm guessing that, because the expectation of collabs must have been different back then. Like,
yeah,
if we're gonna collab with you, the song has to hit a bigger audience. It has to do something. Now they're just collabing with people, and if the song don't even hit, it don't matter.
Exactly. Like go back for a little bit. Like Brandy and Monica. Yeah. Every girl wanted that collab, and that collab would happen. You know, or like Mariah and Boyz II Men. Another collab that everybody shocked that it happened, but it came out amazing. And that we'll also see with R. Kelly and Celine Dion as well.
When two artists are at their top pillar, it made sense at that time to make them collaborate.
I agree, it did, and that's definitely one of them.
Nowadays, people do collabs just to bring the new artists up.
Pretty much.
That's majority of the time the case these days.
Yeah, agree. So we're gonna go to the 1999, the last era in the 90s, and we're gonna start with Brandy. Have You Ever, 2 weeks to number one, which in my eye, is one of my favorite Brandy albums of all time, and stuff like that. And the song's amazing as well. How you feel about this song?
I like it. That song's a great song.
Yeah, this song's amazing. I like the song. But of course, not far behind, we got Monica, who also went number one. In 99 with Angel Is Mine. 4 weeks at number one. How you feel about Angel Is Mine?
Angel Is Mine?
Yeah.
It's a good song. That was the song that had Tyrese in the video.
Yeah. I mean...
So basically, everybody was just fighting for that number one spot during that time. Monica, Brandy.
Yeah.
Mariah
versus Janet.
Mariah versus anybody who was at number one for too long, too.
Basically.
They're like, oh, you're number one for this much weeks? Alright, yeah. My next record.
Exactly. But next we got TLC. With No Scrubs. 4 weeks at number one. I'm pretty sure we know how we feel about this song, son. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we already said the last episode.
I don't want to get to it. Yeah, we already know how we feel about this song. But then next is Will Smith featured Drew Hill with the Wild Wild West. Number one for one week at number one. How you feel about that?
I'm surprised this song was number one.
I'm a little shocked too, but this song was a dope song though. I didn't like the movie for a while with West, but I like the song though. This song was dope. And also fun fact, Stevie Wonder, Stevie Wonder made the song a long time ago. I can't remember the song name, but Stevie Wonder sample.
The Wild Wild West. It's not my favorite song, but it's whatever. If it plays, I listen to it.
Yeah, even though Cisco killed it on the chorus though.
He killed it on the chorus though.
Then we got with TLC back on the countdown again with Unpretty. 3 weeks at number one. How you feel about Unpretty?
It's a good song. It's a dope song. Yeah.
I actually liked the song. And I liked the Unpretty. I liked it when they did the radio version, they remixed it and they had the I forgot what background they did, but I like that Unpretty. It was a pretty deep song as well, and you know, I'm glad TLC brought
it. Because I mix it sometimes. It's is that guy Dennis Williams or what is his name?
Oh, Dennis. Oh, Fun Sensation. Dennis Williams.
Don't hold me back. I like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that. And the message and the thing about the message of that song was deep too. You know, for girls around the world, they needed that type of message, and I'm glad TLC brought out that message for them. And last song. Last song in the 1990s. Of course, why should we be surprised? It's Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey, once again, she will feature Jay-Z with Honey. Spent 2 weeks at number one. How you feel about Honey?
I didn't like Honey. I listened to it just because Jay-Z was on it.
Yeah, I mean, my bad, Heartbreaker.
Oh, Heartbreaker?
Yeah, Heartbreaker. Yeah, it was Heartbreaker.
I didn't like that song like that. I just listened to it because Jay-Z was on it.
Yeah, agree. Same here. Agree. All right, so you know, right now, before we go, we do a segment, gang, and the segment game is one hit wonders. Like, so how we gonna do this is like I'm gonna name a one hit wonder title, and I'm gonna say, do you feel that this artist deserve another hit, or this should just stay at a one hit wonder? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right. So the first song we got, my guy Mark Ronson, Return on the Mac. First, I'm gonna say, do you like the song first? Then also, do you feel like the song did he deserve another hit, or you wish he was throughout and stuff like that?
Yes, I like the song. He deserved another hit, but has he been out for that? Has he been out after that?
Yeah, I mean, not in the U.S. He haven't. He been out in overseas.
Oh
yeah, he known, yeah, you, because of course it's some artist that known overseas, but they're not known in the U.S. So in the U.S. he went hit wonder,
and that's the thing, when sometimes the person bring out a ton of music overseas, but we only get to hear that one song.
Yeah, pretty much. And even I love Return of the Mac. That was our anthem. When we moved to AC, I love that song, you know. And fun fact about Mark Ronson, recently, G-Eazy and Chris Brown came out with a song with the Mark Ronson sample. But on top of that, Mark Ronson was on the hook.
Oh.
He revised his verse for the song on the hook. And I was like, wow.
You got to send me the link for that.
I literally just heard it today, son. So, yeah.
Just send me that later.
I got you, son. I wish he did came up with another hit. I actually like him. Dope guy. The next artist is Dean Howard, Freak Like Me. How you feel about that? How you feel about this song?
It's a cool, fun song. It's a nice funky song. The beat is cool. I wonder if she ever came out with other stuff.
As for me, the song was okay to me. I didn't really care for the song. Of course, I care. I hope I hear it a lot because I played it in the club, though. I do not know if she came with another hit. I'm not 100% sure on that. But yeah, next artist is Sparkle. Be careful.
I love that song.
it was an okay song for me. We pretty much know what happened with her. We don't have to really dive into what happened with her. But we already know. If you saw the R. Kelly documentary.
Yeah.
You sure already know what happened to her. You know.
So it's not possible for her to bring out more music.
I don't even know. I don't think so. I'm not even sure. So the next artist is Gina Thompson, The Things You Do.
Dope song. I think that's the one with Missy, right? Producer?
Yeah, it was. That is a dope song. That song is also do get played in the club and stuff like that. The thing about this song, I feel like a lot of the song like this, it sounded like they sound the same. Like they sound for another artist. So I didn't think it was like a. I thought this was a group. I didn't think it was just one girl. Stuff like that, you know.
But how they really did music back in the day more. They didn't even like they. It's like they gave multiple people the same beat and just altered it slightly.
Yeah, pretty much.
So more than likely, in the same year, you heard the same song three times because of that's how they did it at that time.
Yeah, and the thing about it, a lot of the beats sound the same, and this song was one of them. The song was one of them.
Or they just do like 10 remixes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Somebody else do the song just like the other person. Yeah, they had a lot of that back in the day. But Gina Thompson, if she could come back, we'll see.
I want my father to come back. Nicole Ray, Make It Hot.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah, me too. I believe that was another Missy. That was another Missy song, right? Missy did produce, right?
Yeah, that was another Missy. Right. I didn't miss you was her prodigy. She was, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about Nicole Ray, she actually did came out. She was signed to Rockefeller. But
really?
Yeah, like later. I didn't know that. Yeah. Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was signed to Rockefeller. I got like a couple of songs in my CD crate, and she had songs with Rockefeller. But I don't think she came out with an actual project though. That's the thing. I don't think she came out with a project though.
Damn.
I remember the one song she came up with, she had with Jay-Z called Regrets. It was pretty cool, but I don't think it came out mainstream or anything like that. But yeah. So the next song is Jade, Don't Walk Away.
Don't Walk Away is a good song. It's a cool song. I like it.
I do too.
If they could come back. They should have another hit.
I agree. The fun fact for me, I honestly didn't know that this was a group. I thought this was one girl. Because, you know, when you think of Jade, you don't think of a group. You think of one girl. So when I find out, like, yo, this a group? What? Like, it don't sound like a group. It sound like one girl. But, yeah. I like the Don't Walk Away. It's a dope song. If they were to come back, that would be dope. I wouldn't mind if they come back with another hit. Next, we got Jesse Powell, You.
Oh, my sister loved that. That's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Jesse Powell should come back. Like, he has it in him.
Yeah, he had a good voice. I mean... I can see him at one of the artists that always been out, but just didn't have no chart hitting songs. Like no, he like a WLS artist, like Neo Soul. Like you see him do New York Soul, you know, cause a lot of them had hits, but it just haven't came out. They haven't like been like Billboard charting songs.
Right.
I feel like it's 2 minutes to one hit wonders. One minute is they got a hit and they don't, you know, see them at all, and then, or they got a hit, or they just don't, this song just don't chart. That's how I look at it when I hit.
But the record labels look at that real hard and scrutinize on that really hard, like.
Yeah, basically.
You gotta sell at least moderate your second song or.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your next song to stay on, but yeah.
Yeah, and next we got Shanice. I Love Your Smile.
I Love Your Smile.
Yeah.
It's a nice song. I like hearing it every now and then. It's a feel-good song.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm not going to front. The fact that they say Shanice is a one-hit wonder is kind of weird because she was doing a lot of stuff in the 90s. So it's weird that they say that she was a one-hit wonder. You know, she was on Family Matters and stuff like that. And she was actually on Family Matters like more than once and stuff. And
really?
Yeah, she was doing mad stuff. I know later, you know, she married.
I gotta find the episode that she was on Family Matters.
Yeah, she was on it like 23 times. She was dating Eddie Winslow on the show.
Oh. I'll check that out.
Yeah, but then of course later she went downhill. Later, you know her. You know she was married to Flex. She is married to Flex, I should say. And things went downhill for her career. But I think now she bounced it back up now. So I don't know. I never consider her at a one-hit wonder. So that's the weird thing about it. But I like the Shanice. I like the song "I Love Your Smile." You know, she's the artist. I'm good to see her back on her feet and do her thing though. So, you know, next is Ghost Town DJ Mabu.
Oh yeah, that's a good song. If they come back, that's good. And that song got resurfaced when they made that Running Man challenge like 3 years ago.
I was just about to mention that. And I mean, the song, of course, they do play it in the club, of course. For me, I didn't like the song like that, but yeah, it was a cool song. I mean, yeah. And you know, last but not least, we already spoke about the song already. All for One, I Swear. We already spoke about how we felt about that song. It's an amazing song. But would you want to see them do another track?
Yeah, but you know how it is with groups.
For real. Who knows? Maybe one of them are doing solo. Who knows? No?
Or that, right. I don't know much about the members, but who knows, right? One of them will do a solo and come back.
Yeah, I don't know much about the members either, but you already know Retro. Thank you for coming on the show, and we're gonna continue this conversation on the next episode of Old School Show in February. We go do part two, 2000s, Billboard hits and One Hit Wonder. Once again, thank you, Retro. Retro, drive your social media. Let them know.
You can follow me at Roddy, RODDYFE on Instagram. Over and out.
Okay, nice. Also, check out Roddy's interview on King Talk with Aaron Sand, you know, the bro from who won fourth of the Premier Web podcast. He had a new podcast show called King Talk with Aaron Sand. Retro is on the latest episode, the first episode, you know, discussing what happened with the Premier Web podcast finale and stuff like that. So check it out. Check him out. He about to do this boy about to do amazing things, man. Look out for him.
It's like that was like a Barbara Walters interview, boy.
it really was though. Dope interview. You did your thing, bro. And he be back for we'll be back later this month for part two of this episode. And we be right back.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Gemini, with the Gentleman Like the Podcast and the Premier Boy Podcast. And this commercial is brought to you by the Premier Boy Podcast, where four Brooklyn dudes, where we talk about anything about the culture. You know, hosted by myself, Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman, Mr. Aaron Sands from King Talk with Aaron Sands, the Star Riding Ride, who is also my co-host of the Old School Show, and Long Live the Chief Mally Mel. And we talk many topics. From politics, music, sex, love, relationships, and many more. And also every topic that's going on in the news right now. Many of our topics are very controversial. And the podcast show might not be for everybody. Because we talk about many explicit content. And yeah. So if y'all decided to check out the show, y'all be warned because y'all might need a drink or two. And yeah, because this podcast is so crazy. I'm shocked it had not got canceled yet. So if y'all are looking forward to listening to the Premier Web Podcast, check it out on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many more. Each and every Wednesday at 12 a.m., you can check out the Premier Web Podcast with myself, Mr. Aaron Sands, Star Riding Rod, and Long Live the Chief Mally Mel. This is your boy Ken, a.k.a. Benjamin. Have a good day and night wherever you're listening to this episode. Now back to the show. I just want to take the time to thank you everybody for tuning in to this new episode. You know, thank the bro, the Retro, as always, for coming to the show for the Old School Show. But, you know, we're going to bring you part two of this episode in the February. So you already know on regular schedules, you already know what to do. If y'all would be a guest on the Old School Show with myself and DJ Retro, y'all could just DM me Ken _ Mr. Gentleman. I repeat, Ken, K-E-N _ Mr. M-R, Gentleman, G-E-N-T-L-E-M-A-N. And y'all could be on the show. We could talk everything old school, from music, movies, TV shows, artists, highlight, and etc. And yeah, the Old School Show, each and every fourth and fifth Sunday. Next episode, we'll be back on the regular schedule. And yeah, and I'd be right. Have a good night.
Hey, this is Beauty Bella, and I'm listening to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.